A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Please be seated.
Now, a man was ill, Lazarus, from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying,
"Master, the one you love is ill."
When Jesus heard this, he said,
"This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples,
"Let us go back to Judea."
The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered,
"Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him."
He said this and then told them,
"Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to awaken him."
So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought that he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly,
"Lazarus has died, and I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him."
So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was nearer Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you."
Jesus said to her,
"Your brother will rise."
Martha said to him,
"I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day."
Jesus told her,
"I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
She said to him,
"Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world."
When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying,
"The teacher is here and is asking for you."
As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus has not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had let him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell to his feet and said to him,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said,
"Where have you laid him?"
They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said,
"Take away the stone."
Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him,
"Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days."
Jesus said to her,
Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?
So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said,
Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me.
And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to him,
Untie him and let him go.
Now, many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Do you believe this? Do you believe what you just heard, that there was a man who died and was in the tomb for 4 days, and then Jesus came and brought him back to life? Very good. I'm glad you said yes. But the thing sometimes, yes, we believe that Jesus, who Jesus is, like Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And we're like them, we're loved by Jesus, and we love Jesus. We have this close relationship with him. But a lot of times, our beliefs don't, our actions don't represent what we believe. For example, Martha tells Jesus, yes, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God. And yet when Jesus tells her, take away the stone, what did she say? But Lord, there is a stench. They believe who Jesus is, but then both Martha and Mary said, but Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died. Yes, we believe who Jesus is, but yet we don't live what we believe, and sometimes we have the wrong understanding of who Jesus is. Jesus didn't come just to be the special Santa Claus for his group of friends, give them whatever they want to. Jesus did not come so we will not die. Jesus did not come to cure every sick person or to cure poverty or to remove injustice from the world. Jesus came to forgive us our sins so we can rise to eternal life when our journey in this world comes to end. He came to free us from eternal death. He came to give us the opportunity to live as God's adopted children with that dignity and that glory of being the sons and daughters of God. That's what he came for. But a lot of times we focus on the things right now. Lord, why did you let my brother die? Or the people saying, well, he opened the eyes of the blind man. Couldn't he help his friend? Jesus will help all of us, will raise all of us to eternal life one day. That's why he came. But also we want to know, where is Jesus now? Like Mary and Martha wondering, Lord, where were you? What were you delayed? How does Jesus prepare us for that final resurrection? He offers us that gift, but what's our response? Our response is we have to believe in him. And not just believing, yes, we believe there's Jesus and he's the Son of God, but believing means, as we heard on the Transfiguration, God telling us, listen to him, listen to his way of love, listen to his vision of how we should live our lives, listen to what he tells us is our purpose in life, our mission in life, to be his messengers of love, his ambassadors of love, to bring love into this world. But as we heard in the first two readings, a lot of times we fail short on living what Jesus wants us to be and what to do. Because we're human, we're weak. Because as we know, love is not easy. So when we fail to live that mission, that commandment that Jesus gave us to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. We're like that Lazarus coming out, still bound by his shroud, still tied into his death. And it's interesting that Jesus, obviously, who brought him back to life, he could have brought him back to life without the shroud around him. But he did not. He told the people, you untie him. Jesus given the church the mission to untie us from our weaknesses, from those times when we fail to love as we should. So that one day, his promise that all those who believe in him will never die will be true for us. And the way we as Catholics do this is through the sacrament of reconciliation. That's where Jesus, through the priest, through the church, help us to be untied from the tombs that we weave around ourselves. Our selfishness, our guilt, our shame, our greed, whatever it is, our addictions. We tie ourselves up so we won't be able to love as we should. And yet many of us do not take advantage of this gift that Jesus gives us, the sacrament of reconciliation. April 4th, a week from Tuesday, we have our Lenten penance service. I invite you to really make an effort to come. Come to experience this rising from those death situations that we experience in our daily lives. Not physical death, but death to love, death to service, death to commitment, death to sacrifice. And let Jesus untie us through that sacrament. I know some people say, well, Father, I haven't been to confession for I don't know how many years. I don't know what to do. You don't have to do anything just to be there. Be there and express your sorrow to God, asking him his help to help you to do better. You don't have to remember every sin you ever committed. God knows our sins. It's not about us telling him what we have done. It's about us being focused on where do I need to grow? How can I become a better witness to Jesus? How can I be a more loving person? It's not about the bad things we've done sometimes. Are we doing the good that we're supposed to do? Are we as generous as we can be? Are we taking enough time to spend with God in prayer? Are we using our time, talent, and treasure to build God's kingdom? Are we defending Jesus like the man born blind last Sunday did in front of the Pharisees and asserting that, yes, he is the one who opened his eyes? It's not only the bad things we do, but the good that we have the potential to do and God is calling us to do, but we don't do. People say, well, why do I have to go to a priest to do, you know, to tell him my sins? You're not telling the priest your sins. You're not telling anyone your sins, but you're telling yourself your sins. By taking the time to examine our conscience, taking the time to reflect on our lives, that's when we begin to see, okay, I need to grow in this area. I need to do better here. And then we come seeking God's help. One day when we get to heaven, we can ask Jesus, why did he establish this system of the sacraments? Like I said, he could have raised Lazarus without the cloth that bound him. But he did not. He told the people, you unbind him. It's not the priest who frees you from your sins. It's the word of Jesus when the priest says, I absolve you from your sins. When we celebrate the Eucharist, when we have the words of the consecration, I don't say, take and eat my body. Or I say, take and eat my body. I don't say, take and eat the body of Jesus, because it's the word of Christ that has the power to make the transformation, to bring us back to life, to transform the bread and wine into his body and blood. Not the priest, not my words. It's the body of Christ that we're receiving. Jesus just spoke the words, said, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. And when the priest says, I absolve you from your sin, then your sins are forgiven. Some people sometimes say, when give him a penance, say, when our Father, well, is that it, Father? Well, That's it for us because Jesus paid the whole price. It's about how can we continue to grow with Jesus and discover more and more what does it mean when we say, yes, I believe you are the Christ. You are the Savior of the world. People say, well, Father, I don't know how to go to confession. You don't have to know anything. You know, in the penance service, the act of contrition, we say it all together. Even when you go to individual confessions, there is the card there with the prayer of contrition. You can read it. Or you have to come in with an open heart and a desire to grow in love. And Jesus will take care of the rest. You can go to a priest that you don't know and they don't know. You'll never see after Tuesday. You can confess in a language the priest doesn't understand. That's not the point. The point is you and Jesus. Yes, you want to confess to Jesus. We can do it anytime. But that's the time that you're taking to do it in front of the priest so he can tell you the words of Jesus, you are forgiven. Go and do better. Go and sin no more. That's why we go to confession. Because Jesus established this system for us. Like I said, one day we can ask him, why did he do it this way? The healing, the grace of Christ comes to us through our community, as community members, and as through those who are chosen to be leaders of this community. It's not about our past, it's about our present and our future. It's about preparing ourselves for that one day when truly we will believe the words of Jesus will be fulfilled for us, when he'll call us to rise up and to die no more.